In 1964, a group known as the Beatles had a song, "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Right? Nobody remembers that. Did you realize it doesn't matter if you want to hold somebody's hand, if you extend your hand and they don't reciprocate, you can't hold their hand. I want you to know God wants to hold your hand. Isaiah 41:13. New Living Translation I'm going to read today. "For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, do not be afraid, I am here to help you." Now I want to read that from the Message Bible too. "I, your God, have a firm grip on you. I'm not letting go. I'm telling you, don't panic. I'm right here with you." I want you to notice he says here, "I'm not letting go." Once you take hold of God's hand, he won't let go, but you can. But you don't need to, okay? A surgeon walking through the hall of a large hospital saw a little girl with bandaged eyes waving her hands all around, and he could tell she was in distress. And he came up to her and grabbed her outstretched hand, and instantly there was a change. The little girl became quiet and comforted. You know, this can be a picture of a person going through difficult times, filled with dread and fear. Don't know what's going to happen because they can't see what's in front of them. But you know what? When you reach up and grab God's hand, everything changes. Just like it did for that little girl. You know, the truth is, the Lord is saying, "I want to hold your hand, but it's up to you to grab a hold of my hand." You know, the world we live in is a world that is filled with all kinds of junk and fear and distress. But in the midst of all of that, if you hold on to God's hand, he'll take you through it all. It's just like they sang, "He's a waymaker." I didn't know they was going to sing that. You know, there is a story that is told of a man that was a professed atheist. And he had been this all of his life. And another atheist friend heard that the man was in serious condition, about to die. And his friend, afraid that he would recant on his deathbed, he ran to him and said to him, "Now then, my man, you must hold on." And the man said to him, "It's all right asking me to hold on, but man, I have nothing to hold on to." Come on now. It's great to have someone to hold on to by the name of Jesus. You know, "For I hold you by your right hand," we read. You know, another story for just a moment here. A man was awaiting an operation on his appendix. And though he was a Christian, he was very fearful and for some reason. And while he was being wheeled into the operating room, one of the nurses happened to notice that he was in fear. And so she leaned down and whispered in his ear as they were wheeling him into the operating room, "When you get on inside on the table, look at the plaque on the wall." So as he was put on the table for his operation, he turned his head and looked at the wall. And there was this verse that we have read, "For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. After that, he had no more fear. You know, in the Bible, you ever notice that as you read the Bible, there are a lot of fear nots? Anybody ever notice that? In all kinds of situations, God is trying to tell us, hey, you hold on to my hand, there's no need for fear. There's no need for fear. What is the significance of reaching out and grabbing a hold of the hand of God? Well, God's hand brings salvation. Psalms 18:16 in the New Living says, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. What a graphic picture this is of God reaching down to mankind, grabbing hold of his hand and lifting him up. It may be, you may be sinking in the swirling waters of trouble and all kinds of things. But let me tell you what, if you'll hang on to the hand of God, he'll bring you out on the other side. You know, actually, when people are in trouble, one of the things you do is wave your hand. Is that not correct? That's supposed to be, and especially if you're waving both of them, that's supposed to be a sign, hey, I need help. I know one time when the kids were teenagers, I guess they were, and we were in the swimming pool, and so the helicopter was flying over, and so we'd all just started waving at him, you know, and they called and because they thought we were in distress, and we were just waving at the helicopter as he was flying over. Excuse me. You know, Peter, it says here in the New Living, I'm going to read from Matthew 14:28 verse starting. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the other side, over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he said. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. I want you to notice that he reached out and grabbed him by the hand. Jesus had to stretch his hand out, but Peter had to grab it. And according to what we read in the Word of God, he has his hand extended. It's up to us to grab it. You know, I could extend my hand. Carlos here, one of my ushers. I like Brother Carlos because he would go to the door with me. He's big and strong. Ain't nobody going to get me. He played football for TU. But I could extend my hand to Carlos, but unless he reciprocates back, there's nothing I can do about it. And that's a lot of people say, oh, God, take care of me. God, take care of me. Hey, God's extending his hand. He wants to take care of you. But if he's going to take care of you, you got to reach up and grab a hold of him. Anybody getting anything out of what I'm saying? You know, as we look at this, and we begin to see some things. Let's look at Acts 11:20-21 in the NIV. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, and went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So the hand of the Lord provides salvation. The hand of the Lord provides protection. John 10:28. And I give them eternal life, that they shall never perish. neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's the New King James. The NIV says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Message says, I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them from out of my hand. You know, that's a fantastic thought. Nobody can take you away from the hand of God except you when you turn loose. You know, we don't have to be frightened that anything coming at us can take us away from God. We already know, according to John 10:10, that the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But as long as we hold on to God, there's no way he can do that. No way he can take advantage of us. You know, throughout the history of Israel, their testimony was that God protected them. Ezra 8:31. And the New King James says, then we departed from the river Abba on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambushes along the road. Man, this needs to be all of us' testimony. The glorious hand of God protected us and saved us from our enemies along the way. The hand of the Lord provides protection. The hand of the Lord gives encouragement. Or you could say provides encouragement, however you want to say it. Look at Ezra 7:27 in the New Living Translation. Ezra 7:27, New Living Translation. Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who made the king want to beautify the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And praise him for demonstrating such unfailing love to me by honoring me before the king, his council, and all his mighty nobles. I felt encouraged because the gracious hand of the Lord my God was on me, and I gathered some of the leaders of Israel to return with me to Jerusalem. Now here, Ezra is talking about the king, the wicked king that had them in captivity, now gives him permission and several of those with him to go back to Jerusalem and restore the temple because Jerusalem was laying in ruins. But not only did he give orders for them to go back, he gave orders for the necessary supplies and resources so Israel could do the job. And I want you to notice Ezra said, I felt encouraged because of the gracious hand of the Lord. You know, we need to realize that God wants to encourage us. So when you get discouraged, just think about, I got a hold of God's hand. And so I can make it. I got it made. As we would say in modern day vernacular that we talk about today, hey, he's got our back. That's encouraging to know that somebody's got your back, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, let's look at something else here. God's hand provides encouragement, right? Now, God's hand provides victory. This is going faster than I thought it would. I better slow down. But I'm so excited about this. I don't know. Can you tell I'm excited about this? It started off a little different, but it's all right to be different. Hey, I want to hold your hand. That's what God is saying. God's saying, I want to hold your hand. Come on. Now, go to Joshua 4:20. Joshua 4:20. I'll slow down here. Joshua 4:20. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from Jordan. Then Joshua said to the leaders, "In the future your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them this is where Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes and kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all across. He did this so that all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God." Now, that doesn't mean fear like being afraid of something. That means being in awe of God. You know, God's hand will give us victory no matter what's coming against us. Here, the river was at flood stage. But it said that the hand of the Lord So, what's he saying here? He said, so that everybody will know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. That's why it's important for you to let people know what God's done for you, because when you do so, you let them know the hand of the Lord is powerful. The hand of the Lord will deliver. The hand of the Lord will protect. Come on now. You know, when your back's against the wall and you think there's no way out, just remember, God's mighty hand is holding you. And as my dad used to say all the time, "Hey, son, we can't go under for going over, because God's got a hold of us." Tell somebody, you can't go under for going over, because God's got a hold of your hand. Come on now. I don't know about y'all. Y'all don't seem to be excited about this as I am. Man, I started getting a hold of this, and man, it really resonated inside of me. And I wanted to do the same thing in you, so that you'll always remember to hold on to the hand of God no matter what. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody comes against you, or whatever it is that comes against you. I want you to realize, as long as you're holding on to the hand of God, you can't go under for going over. Glory to God. I don't know what they teach in it. I don't know what they teach in school anymore. I don't think they teach history at all the way it's supposed to be taught. But anyway, some of you remember American history from high school. Anybody remember American history from high school? Anybody remember something called the Revolutionary War? Anybody remember a boat commander by the name of John Paul Jones? You remember that story? He was in a battle with the English warship, and it looks like he was about to go under. The ship was about to go down. So the captain of the English warship said to him, "You ready to give up?" John Paul Jones said, "I've yet to begun to fight," and went on to win the battle. When it looks like everything's against you and then you going down instead of going over, just remember, hey, I got a hold of God's hand and he hadn't even started yet. Come on now. God is like that. We may be losing the battle, but God's never lost one. So look to him. Let your trust be in him. And hold on to the hand of victory. You know what? Anybody ever felt like you just, ugh. I don't got no strength. Well, the hand of the Lord provides strength. Psalms 118:15, New Living Translation. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. It says here in the Message Bible, hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. It's an unknown saying, but within the grasp of the divine hand comes an impartation of divine strength. I like that verse in Romans 8. Says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken my mortal body. That's the hand of the Lord holding on to you. You know, have you ever felt in danger and somebody just gives you a hand of encouragement by a word and says you can make it? It just gave you strength to go on. You know, the story is told of my high school. I wasn't there. I was over in Army, but in 19, I believe it's 64, that Garland, they were playing for the state championship, and they were down by 6 points, and they needed to score and kick the extra point to win the state championship. There was only 2 minutes to go. And the story is told, and actually the coach was going to my Lynette's and them's church at that time. Coach Chuck Curtis, he was All-American from TCU and went on to play for the New York Giants, a quarterback. But he got a hold of the quarterback. Chuck was famous for taking kids that were sort of on the edge out here and pulling them in and making athletes and good people out of them. He had done this with a kid by the name of Jimmy Adams. And he talked to him, and we got the ball back. They got the ball back. They're on their own 20-yard line. There's 2 minutes to go. And they say, reading in the paper, they said Jimmy went in. He went in that huddle, and he said, never fear. Jimmy's here. We're going to score. And he said to Ralph Weaver, who was the fullback, he said, Ralph, I'm going to give you the ball. You go through that line and don't you hit the ground until you're at least 10 yards. And we got a first down. And he did. Anyway, he kept telling them all of this stuff. You do this, you do that, you do this. They did score and they did win. But it seemed that the whole team was down. But when he went in that huddle and began to say, never fear, Jimmy's here, with such attitude, hey, they went down and scored. Hey, never fear, God's here. Man, he'll give you strength. You know, David said in Psalms 18:29, in your strength, he's talking about in the hand of God, I can crush an army. And with my God, I can scale any wall. That's in the NLT version. You know, and then Paul goes on and says it like this. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Long as you hang on to the hand of God, he'll give you strength. Come on now. Let's go back through these again. I want you to get a hold of these. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord does what? It brings salvation. The hand of the Lord brings protection. The hand of the Lord brings encouragement. Right? The hand of the Lord provides victory. The hand of the Lord provides strength. And I want to tell you what. We can talk about all these all we want to. But unless you hold on to God and believe what you have just heard, the hand of the Lord will bring you whatever the Word of God has promised you. I don't think any of us know what the future really holds. But the same God that holds the future in his hand is the same God that's got a hold of my hand. So he will take me through. God will hold on to you in every difficulty of life if you'll hang on to him. We got to exercise our faith in the hand of God. You know, when the kids were, you know, in grade school, we had started Rhema, but church wasn't existing. I was an evangelist. I was an evangelist all of my preaching career up until 85. And I started except for those 6 years when I was associate pastor. And then when I came here to start Rhema, I went back out on the field. I mean, we would graduate on Friday night, jump in the motorhome, the kids will tell you, and we'd take off driving for a meeting. I'd drive way out here till I got tired and pull in a rest stop and sleep a little while and get up and drive again. And you know, as we did that, I encountered many difficulties. But I always knew that the hand of God would take me through. And so I would tell the kids this. And I would demonstrate about we'd be on a week and off a week. And if we were somewhere where there's an amusement park, we'd go. But we only had 2 days, or one day sometimes, not more than 2 days to go through it, and there'd be a crowd. And so I'd say, okay, Craig, you grab a hold of grab a hold of my belt. Denise, you grab a hold of Bubby. And Lynette, you be behind there. I said, we're going through the crowd. And I would go through the crowd. But you see, it was me leading the way and them hanging on that got us through. If they turn loose, then I'm going up here somewhere. Now I got to stop and go back and wiggle through the crowd and find them. You see, that's the way it is with you and God. You hold on to God's hand. He's taking you through troubled waters. He's taking you through these situations, these circumstances. You got to hang on. You may not feel like hanging on. You may feel like it's useless, but don't keep hanging on. Because if you hang on, you'll get there and you'll get to ride all the rides. I told him, I said, you hang on to me and we'll ride every ride in this park. Let me tell you what, you hang on to God and you'll ride every promise in that book. I want to hold your hand, God's saying. Let's all stand and thank God for the hand of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you that your hand is reaching down. Help us always to reach up and grab a hold with a lock that we won't let go. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Man, you need to grab a hold of the hand of God like a dog does a bone. You ever, I've done it before. My old Mickey, my old bulldog I had when I was in first, second grade. I give him a bone, one of them big old bones. And he grabbed hold of that thing. I grab it on each side, and I lift him plumb off the ground, and he don't turn loose that bone. Anybody ever done that with a dog? I mean, he ain't going to turn his bone loose. Hello? That's the way you got to be. That's the way you got to be with God. You ain't going to turn loose. No matter what, you're not going to turn loose. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Remember, God wants to hold your hand. Anytime you happen to hear that song, remember, God wants to hold your hand. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. If you happen to be in here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you've just not where you need to be and you need to rededicate your life to God. Are you in this place and you say, well, I know what it is to be born again, but I've never been filled with the Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here says, I need Jesus, I need to rededicate my life, or I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Let me see your hand anywhere in the room. I want to pray with you and for you, but I can't pray with you and I can't pray for you unless I know who you are. So anybody, anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, raise your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands, but if there be one person in this place under the sound of our voice that needs to rededicate their life, or needs to accept your son Jesus as the Savior of their life, I pray that the convicting power of God will go with them and they won't be satisfied doing anything until they stop and turn their life around with Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen and amen.